Okay. Bez Hashem, let's start the famous Rashis and famous ideas on Parashas Mishpatim. So these are the Mishpatim, these are the Dinim, and they come right after Yisra, right after Matan Torah. Rashi says, why is Mishpatim connected, these Dinim? Why is Dinim connected to Matan Torah? So Rashi says, Lomar Lucha Shatasim Sanhedrin Eitzel HaMikdash. Very fascinating. That the Sanhedrin should be next to the Mikdash. The very end of Yisro talks about the Mizbeach. So then you have the parasha of Dinim of the base. So the base in Hagadol was in the base Hamikdash. In the Lishkas in the base Hamikdash. So Rav Shechter Shlita always points out as follows. We always view the Beis HaMikdash as the makom of Karbanos. Hashem, Karbanos. It is. It's also the makom of Torah. That's where the Aron was, Torah Shebichsav, and that's where the Beis Din sat, Torah Shebal Peh. The Beis Din HaGadol had the special extra Siyata Deshmaya of being right next to the makom HaMikdash. So the ultimate place of Torah Shebal Peh was also Mikdash. So the base of Mikdash is not only the place of Karbanos, it's also the place of Torah. And without the base of Mikdash, we don't have the same connection with Torah anymore, because we don't realize this, but we don't. And that's why in the Shemoneh Esrei at the end, what do we say at the end of Shemoneh Esrei? We say Yihi Ratzon. He say, Yiratzon sheyibana beis hamikdash b'mehar v'yamein v'sein chalkeinu b'sor v'secha. That's the pshat. The pshat is that the only way we can really get back to the real level of Torah that we want is with the beis hamikdash. So that's this Rashi. You guys said that's a new idea. We always think of the beis hamikdash as the place of karbanos, the place of getting close to Hashem, right? Sing, but it's also the place of Torah. Torah shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. That's this idea in Rashi. That's an important idea. Okay. Okay. Now, next, the Torah is talking about a husband's chiyuvim to his wife. We said this already. Three chiyuvim. Share, ksus, biona. Share, ksus, fiona. So share is food, we assume. Ksus is clothing. And what's ona? So Rashi says, Tashmish Hamita, marital relations, that a husband, chiyuv a husband to a wife. So I always quote from a Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita, what's the word the Torah uses? What's the word the Torah uses for Ona? Ona, what does Ona mean? What does Ona mean? What does Ona mean with an ayin? Let's translate. But doesn't mean that here. That's true. Or her time. Ona means time. Ona means time. A time period. So it's amazing that when the Torah talks about this aspect of marriage, it calls it time. What's the yesod? That the main thing that your wife wants from the husband is what? Is time. You spend time with her. It's a beautiful idea. So this very private, intimate part of marriage, the Torah gives it the nickname time to teach you. That's the yesod. Spending time with your wife. Very, very important. Okay. Next. Here we have a Rashi quoting a pasuk which Rav Shechter Shlita loves to talk about, which is as follows. In Perek Kaf Aleph Pasuk Yud Dalet, so Rashi quotes that David says, Kasher Yomar Mashal HaKadmoni Meirishayim Yetzei Rasha. As the proverb of the Kadmoni says, and he quotes, and he has a whole discussion here. What's Mashal HaKadmoni? What is the Mashal HaKadmoni? What's the Mashal HaKadmoni? It's the Mashal authored by the Ancient One, authored by Hashem. Meaning if God wrote something, it's called Mashal HaKadmoni. So the Torah is the mashal of the Ancient One. That's the Pashup Shat. The mashal authored by the the ancient one, Moshe HaKadmon. Okay. But there's another idea. Moshe HaKadmon means it's a mashal of Hashem. When you learn Torah, the Torah is Hashem's wisdom. When you learn Torah, you're getting an understanding to a certain degree of what Hashem is. Now, we can't understand what Hashem is, but it's a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. The Chafetz Chaim says the Torah is like a temunas partsuf of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What's a temunas partsuf? A photograph. The Chafetz Chaim has that lashon. Rav Shechter always quotes it. In other words, as follows. We want to have a closest to Hashem. We want to understand Hashem to a certain degree. When you learn Torah, you're learning Hashem's wisdom. You're having this connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tmunas Partsuf. It's a mashal, so it doesn't mean the mashal authored by Hashem. It's the mashal of Hashem himself. So when you learn Torah, you're getting to the closest possible connection you have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mashal HaKadmon. You got it? That's a famous idea. Next, a world-famous Rashi quoting from the Gemara in Makos. Hashem runs the world. It says, "May Rishayim Yetzei Resha." Bad things come from evil people. What does that mean? What does it mean? Bad things come from evil people. So here's the case. This is the famous Gemara. One guy kills somebody b'mezid without edim. So what does he deserve? What does he deserve? He deserves to be killed. One guy killed somebody b'shogeg without edim. So what does he deserve? Golus. So what does Hashem work it out? Hashem works it out that one guy, by mistake, falls off a ladder and kills this guy b'shogeg with edim. So the guy under the ladder is the guy that what? That killed b'mezid. He deserved misa. And the guy on the ladder is one who deserves golus. So Hashem says, Hashem is mezamnan. Hashem orchestrates that they come to the same inn. So that's what Hashem runs the world. You got it? Everything that happens, Hashem runs the world. It's down to the last detail. Even something like this. This guy happens to kill that guy. Hashem runs the world. This is a major yesod in life. Every person has one and only one job in life. What is a person's job in life? One job. Yeah, but what's your one job in life? To make the right choices to get close to Hashem. To exercise your free will. This is an amazing sentence. This is what comes out of the Chovas HaLevavos and other Sfarim. Our only job in life is to make good choices. Everything else Hashem takes. So this, Hashem takes, this guy kills him. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Hashem will take care of him. This is it. Hashem will take care of him. You have to make the right choice, and to get close to Hashem, but you make the right choices. Everything else is in Hashem's hands. It's a very big yesod. To exercise your free will. Whose hands are you in? You're in good hands with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ah, that's the commercial. You know the commercial? You're holding the commercial? You're in good hands with Allstate, so you're in good hands with Hashem. Hashem, you're with Hashem, no problem. Anyway, that's what this Rashi means. Hashem runs everything. Hashem orchestrates everything, and our job is to make the right decisions. For example, coming to Shir on time, coming to Seder, is a good decision. Staying Shana Bet was a good decision. Using Shana Bet all the way until the end, every day, stronger and stronger, is another very good decision. Is that clear? Is that clear? That's a very good decision. And that's the decisions that we're supposed to be making. We have an opportunity. Guys, take advantage of opportunities. People have opportunities and they don't take advantage of them. And it's a shame. Ayin tachas ayin, an eye for an eye. Now it doesn't say elsewhere the Torah says ayin bi'ayin. Here it says tachas ayin, under an eye. So there's the famous comment of the Gra. When the Torah says ayin ba'ayin tachas ayin, what does it mean? It means kesef, you pay money. So first of all, you should know the Sfarim say, the Rishonim say, so why does it say ayin tachas ayin if it means money? So you have to know the Torah's literal pasuk is teaching you how severe it is. You deserve to have your eye knocked out. You deserve it. Just the way Hashem decided in His infinite wisdom to pay money instead. But really, ayin tachas ayin means what the Torah says is what you deserve. Okay. Then there's the famous gra. What's ayin tachas ayin? The ayin under the ayin. What are the letters under ayin yud nun? What's the letter after ayin? No. In the alphabet. Pei. And after yud? Kaf. After nun is samach. That's kesef. So the gra says there's a remez. Since the Torah says ayin tachas ayin, elsewhere it says ayin bi'ayin. Here it says tachas ayin, under the eye, meaning the next letters in the alphabet, and it comes out to be kesef. That's a famous comment of the gra. Okay. How did the gra figure that out? What's the answer to that? How did the gra figure that out?
He was smart.
He was smart. Okay, good. What else did he? What else was the gra?
He was holding.
Oh. Okay, good. He made the right choices. That's an understatement, correct? And he was not bad. Understatement. He was really, 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 really not bad. Murney said it. He was determined. The gra put all of his energies, every ounce of energy he had, into the limud. Not sort of every ounce. Every ounce. And Hashem blessed him with obviously a great mind. But a lot of people have great minds. And he, every ounce, and he worked hard, and that was literally kol kulo Torah. And if he couldn't figure something out, he'd work at it again and again. Every ounce of effort. And then the Gra mastered kol Torah kula. And once the Gra finished mastering everything, then he went back to try to find remuzim in the Chumash for things in Torah, how it all fit together. You got it? I told you the story once. What's the famous story? Who was the Gra's most famous Talmud? His most Chashiva Talmud? Who was the Gra's most Chashiva Talmud? Reb Chaim Volozhiner, correct. Very good. You can't graduate. And you know that from the Shir. The Shir is from the Gra, ten generations from the Gra to? From the Gra to? Rav Korn, correct. So we had that Shir already. Rav Korn Shlita. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner had a brother. His famous brother was? Rav Zalman. And he was very intense, to say the least. He learned a lot. There's a story they tell, which I'm not sure it's true. I might be getting it wrong, but the gist of the story is that Rav Zalman used to learn the Masechta of every mitzvah he was about to do. He'd learn Sukkah before Sukkos. He'd learn Shabbos, Erev, and every Erev Shabbos. Anyway, so apparently it was too much, so somebody said, talk to the Gra about it. So he spoke to the Gra. The Gra said, maybe that's not the right approach exactly. So he said, you should stop. He said, yeah, but Rebbe, I've been doing it for a while. He said, to be Matur Neder. He said, good. And he went to, he said, Afilu Masechta Nedarim. And then he was Matur Neder. That's the story they tell. So when Zalmola was Nifter, somebody said it as Levaya. He knew Torah like the Gra. And a flying Volozhiner was there, and he got up and he said, it's not true. My brother did not know Torah like the Gra. My brother knew Kol Torah Kula by heart, forwards. The Gra knew Kol Torah Kula by heart, forwards and?
Backwards.
Oh. What does that mean? Here's what it means. If I said, say Ashrei by heart, can you guys say Ashrei by heart? Yes.
No.
If I said, say Ashrei by heart backwards. Oh. Hallelujah. Olam. I mean, you could sort of do it, but it's hard to do. If I said, take out a sitter, and read Ashrei backwards, it's smooth. That's what a Chaim Volozhiner meant. The Gra's knowledge of Torah was so complete that it was as if it was written in front of him on a blackboard. That's the pshat. That's the pshat, knowing it backwards and forwards. That it's as if you're seeing it. And who says this? The Targum says it. When the Torah says, Hayud Alev Avecha, on your heart, one of the Targum says, Haveksuvin Al Luach Libecha. That it's written, you look down, there it is, it's written on a black, that's the Lashon. It's written on the blackboard of your heart. That's the Gra. That was the Gra's knowledge of Torah. And once you know Torah like that, so when the Gra saw a picture of Kol Torah Kula as one big unit at the same time, came out. That's the story. I heard that story from Rav Ilson Shlita, at Rav Berzon's son's Shalom Zachar. around 30-ish years ago. And he said, I'll just finish this Dvar Torah. So, what did Chazal say? Chazal say, you learned the Kol Tarkula in your mother's womb. And you come out, you forget it. So what's the point of doing that? You're going to forget everything. You're going to forget it. So he quoted the Bali Nefesh of the Ravid says, how come man and woman were created as one unit? That's what the Torah says, one. The answer is, in marriage, you're supposed to have a complete, total union, like your neshamas join almost. So that's only shayach if you once were together. That's what the Ravid says. So spoke to you by Torah. It's only shayach to get to the level of aluach libecha if it was once part of you beforehand. That's why you weren't called to fool in your mother's womb. So you're getting back to it. Okay. That's it. So that's the answer. And then Hashem gave them all, and that's what the Gerud did. That's what the Gerud did. The Torah says, the Yerushalmi says, the Torah is not empty. Of course it's not empty. So the Yerushalmi says it means if you think it's empty, it's because you didn't work hard enough. Rav Nemetz says it means this. It means this. It means everything's in the Torah. Everything's in the Torah. Everything. And if you work hard, you find everything, even Torah Shebaal Peh. Yes. Okay, and Perakov Beis, Pasakov Dalad. The Torah says, In Kesef Talve Es Ami, which is translated, when you will lend money to my people. This is the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. Now, the Torah says Im. Now, Im, of course, normally means if. But it's not a reshus to give tzedakah, it's a chiyuv to give tzedakah. So Chazal tell us that there are three places where the Torah says Im, which means if, but really it means when. And this is one of the three. Rashi quotes it. So the obvious question is, if the Torah meant to say when, then why did it, which means if? Why didn't the Torah say when? That's a good question. So one of the answers given is found in the Darash Moshe of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe explains as follows. Tzedakah is a classic example of a mitzvah bein adam l'chaveiro. Now, there's a famous comment in the Rambam. It's from a Chazal that if a person, when it comes to b'adam l'makom, let's say it comes to eating treif, so a person shouldn't say, oh, I assume treif food really tastes terrible, so I'm not going to eat treif because it tastes terrible. Efshi. No, efshi. I'd want to eat it. It probably tastes pretty good. If McDonald's has sold billions and billions and billions of cheeseburgers, they probably taste pretty good. But what can I do? Hashem said not to eat it. So I refrain from eating treif because I know it's a mitzvah. Hashem said not to eat it, so I don't eat the treif. So Rav Moshe quotes from the Rambam that's true regarding mitzvos bein adam l'makom. However, regarding b'adam l'chaveiro, it's not so. Regarding b'adam l'chaveiro, a person shouldn't say, oh, I don't want to lend this person tzedakah. Why should I do that? What can I do? I'm forced to give the tzedakah. No! A person is supposed to train himself that he wants to genuinely, internally motivated to give the tzedakah. Oh. So now it's like this. You have to be careful. When a person gives tzedakah, when a person does a mitzvah, ben adam l'chaveiro, of course he is supposed to think about the fact that it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. On top of that mitzvah, he should think about it and say, I want to get to the level where I'd want to give the tzedakah even if it weren't a mitzvah. Because it's the right thing to do. To help other people. So Rav Moshe writes, that's the pshat. The reason why the Torah says im, when it means when, is because the Torah is teaching us, im kesef, if, that a person should get to the level where he would do the mitzvah and give the tzedakah, even if it wrote if, even if it really meant if, he'd still give the tzedakah. That's why the Torah says im. It means when, but the message of the literal meaning is, even if it said if, I still would give the tzedakah. That's an important idea for mitzvos, but b'adam l'chaveiro. We do the mitzvah because Hashem said so, and we want to train our personalities and train our character that we get to the point where we would do the mitzvah even if it would have said if and it wasn't the chiyuv at all. Okay. Now it's very interesting. In the last section of the parsha, the Torah gets back and discusses Matan Torah, Mat Har Sinai. And here there's a big machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban regarding what's happening in the last parak, in the last parak of Dalet. Rashi holds the Chumash is out of order over here. Rashi says the first half of Parak of Dalet happened before Matan Torah on Dalet and Hey Sivan, and the second half of the parak happened after Matan Torah. Rashi says in Pasuk Aleph, Ve'al Moshe Amar, this parsha nemra kodem aseres hadibros, ve'arba b'sivan, on the fourth of Sivan. That's how Rashi learns, and there are shitos in the Medrash that say explicitly that this parak is out of order. And in the middle of the in pasuk Dalet. The Torah says, "Vayashkein baboker." Moshe got up in the morning. So, according to Rashi, the first half of Parak of Dalet happened on Dalet and Hey Sivan. Those are the two days. And then the second half of the Parak, starting after Pasuk Yud Beis, that happened after Matan Torah. That's how Rashi learns. Oh, the Ramban says no. The Ramban says the Chumash is in order. The Ramban says that this parak Kav Dalet happens after Matan Torah. The Ramban says the 2 days of this parak are Vav and Zion Sivan. Again, you have to assume there are 2 days in this parak. Why? Because the Torah says in Pasuk Dalet, Vayashkem Baboker. He got up in the morning. That means it's explicit there were 2 days in this parak. So for Rashi, the 2 days are Dalet and Hey Sivan. And for the Ramban, the 2 days are Vav and Zion Sivan after Matan Torah. Oh. And the Ramban quotes one view in the Medrash, goes like him. Again, you have to be clear. The Medrash does have many opinions who say that this parak happened before Matan Torah, like Rashi. So this Machlokas Rashi Ramban is really an earlier Machlokas Tanoim. And Rashi and the Ramban argue which pshat of the Tanoim do they think fits better with the Pashup shot of the Chumash. That happens sometimes in the with the Mefarshim. Now, it's very interesting. Parak of Dalet, Pasuk Zion has Naaseh V'Nishma, the famous Naaseh V'Nishma. So what's very, very interesting is that according to Rashi, Naaseh V'Nishma happened before Matan Torah on Hey Sivan. But according to the Ramban, we said Naaseh V'Nishma after Matan Torah. That's different than everything we learned, you know, starting from third and fourth grade, that Naaseh V'Nishma was part of our zechus to be Mekabel the Torah originally. According to the Ramban, the famous phrase of Naaseh V'Nishma was actually said by Bnei Yisrael only after Matan Torah. There are most of the midrashim that discuss Naaseh V'Nishma put Naaseh V'Nishma quote Matan Torah. I saw that Rav Kasher in the Torah Shlema quotes a few midrashim that it's clear in those midrashim that Naaseh V'Nishma happened after Matan Torah, and those midrashim become the source of the Ramban's opinion. Okay. Now there's a very famous fundamental machlokas, famous machlokas, Rashi and the Ramban, about Pasuk Yud Aleph. It says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayechazu at Elokim vayochu vayishtu. They saw Hashem, whatever that means, and they ate and drank. So Rashi says that this refers to Nadav and Avihu, that they had reached a high level. They were up on the mountain, very close to Hashem. And Rashi says that Pasuk Yud Aleph represents a chait, a serious chait that they did. Rashi says, "Hayim mistakin bo b'leiv gas." They looked at him with too much familiarity. Mitoch achilu v'shtiyah, through eating and drinking, they were too relaxed in front of Hashem. And really, Rashi says they were deserving of being killed. The previous Rashi is mikal hayim uyim lishayach b'em yad. They deserved to be killed for what they did. But Rashi says Hashem said no. He decided to not punish them now on the day of Matan Torah. Rather, Hashem saved this punishment for a later time. So according to Rashi, Pasuk Yud Aleph represents a mistake of Nadav and Avihu. The Ramban says no. The Ramban says the eating and drinking of Pasuk Yud Aleph was actually a good thing. They were celebrating Kabbalas HaTorah, Matan Torah. And the Ramban says you're supposed to celebrate with eating and drinking Bisman Matan Torah. You're supposed to celebrate Bisman Matan Torah by eating and drinking. That's what the Ramban says. And so, and the Ramban says that this is a big yesod, that when you finish a section of Torah, or you finish a mitzvah, you celebrate, you make a party. And the Ramban says, this is the source for making a seal. What Nadav and Avihu did was like similar to a seal. They received the Torah and they made a party, a physical party with eating and drinking. So this is the famous Ramban, that one is supposed to eat and drink Bisman Matan Torah. My Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita always connects this Ramban to the Gemara. It's in Pesachim, Samech Chesamid Beis. The Gemara says that there's a Machlokes Tanayim, how to celebrate Simchas Yom Tov. Do you have to eat and drink on Yom Tov? One Tana says, Rabbi Yeshua, you have to eat and drink. Rabbi Elazar says, no, you have a choice. Either spend the whole day eating and drinking, and also, of course, daven, but the main thing is the gashmias, lachem, or spend the whole day on lachem, ruchnias, davening, learning, and I just have a little sandwich. So, that's a machokas. But the Gemara says, everyone agrees that on Shavuos, boy nami lachem, on Shavuos you have to have a big meal. Even if you hold that on Pesach and Sukkot, you don't have to have a big meal on Shavuos you do. Why? It's Yom Shinitna B'Torah, the day the Torah is given. It's counterintuitive. You would have thought the day the Torah is given to Dafka, eat and drink less. But the Gemara says, no, you eat and drink more. So Rav Shechter always points out that Gemara fits with the Ramban. That you're supposed to eat and drink Bisman, Matan Torah. What's the idea? What's the reason? So the simple pshat is, and Rav Evansal Shlita always quotes this, the simple pshat is what Rabbeinu David says in Pesachim, to show that you're happy. Your besimcha, b'zman matan Torah. The receiving of the Torah is the greatest gift ever. And we have to show we're happy. We show we're happy by eating and drinking. That's the simple pshat. So you have the Ramban here, you have the Gemara by Shavuos, and you also have a similar Gemara regarding Purim. That at Purim there's an extra special mitzvah of simcha of Suda. Of Simcha of Suda. So Rav Shechter likes to quote from the Gaonim. This is quoted in the Darkei Moshe on Hilchos Purim, that the reason why there's a Chiyuv Suda on Purim is because it's Yom Matan Torah. The Gemara says that the original Matan Torah was forced upon us. Kaf Aleim Har Kigigis. The original Matan Torah was somewhat deficient. There was something missing. It wasn't Beratzon. And then, when was that deficiency rectified? Bisman Purim. Kimu v'kibru. We rededicated ourselves to Matan Torah, Beratzon. And at that time, it was a Kabbalah. So Purim was a time of a national rededication to Torah. Another, a new Kabbalah to Torah, in a sense. So therefore, there's also a Chiyuv Suda there. So this is a Yesod as established by the Ramban with these other Makoros. Now, it's interesting. L'chora, this is an established yesod. So why does Rashi say that it was a mistake that they ate and drank? L'chora was a good thing. So there are two answers to this question. One answer is, Rashi doesn't say explicitly that the chait was that they ate and drank. Rashi says, "Hayu mistaklin bo b'leiv gas mitochil v'shtiyah." They looked at him with undue familiarity, which means it wasn't that they ate and drank. It's the way they ate and drank. They were eating and drinking in a way that was way too familiar, as if they were, too close to Hashem, without the proper awe and reverence. That was the mistake. The mistake wasn't that they ate. The mistake was the way they ate. The other approach is, maybe one could say as follows. Maybe Rashi's l'shitaso. Rashi might agree that bisman matan Torah you eat and drink, like the Ramban says, and like Purim and like Shavuos. However, here, according to Rashi, this pasuk happened before matan Torah and hey Sivan. This happened before matan and hey Sivan. In preparation for matan Torah, that clearly is a time of added kedusha, added tara, not a time for eating and drinking. Maybe that is part of the reason why Rashi argues on the Ramban. It's l'shitaso. According to the Ramban, it was after matan Torah, so it was time to celebrate Kabbalah's HaTorah. According to Rashi, it was before matan Torah, and it's not the appropriate time to be eating and drinking when you're having that type of closeness to Hashem, if it's not based on celebrating Kabbalah's HaTorah. Oh, it's interesting. Some of the Acharonim point out, it's interesting, some point out that Rashi, we have a source that Rashi agrees with the Ramban regarding eating and drinking Bisman Matan Torah. There's a, in Yisro, in the middle of Perek Yud Ches, the Torah says, Vahimi Machras, the next day, the following happened. So Rashi says, what does it mean the next day? It means the day following Yom Kippur. Now, if you look in the Torah, that previous day was a Suda. Pasuk Yigimel has Machras, Pasuk Yibes has a Suda, Lech Lecho Lechen. So the simple pshat of Chumash and Rashi is that it comes out that according to Rashi, they ate and drank on that first Yom Kippur. That's what it comes out in the Psukim. The Ramban notices and points it out. So I saw that the Mizrahi on that Rashi says, what's the pshat? They ate and drank on Yom Kippur. And Mizrahi says as follows. He quotes the Gemara in Moed Katan that Bnei Yisrael ate and drank on Yom Kippur at the time of Chanukah Sabayis. The Navi records in Malachim that when the base Hamikdash was built, the first base Hamikdash, Shlomo made a 2-week party. And the Navi says the second week was overlapped with Sukkos, which means the first week contained Yom Kippur. Oh. So it comes out, they ate on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara points it out, and the Gemara says, yeah. The Gemara says the mitzvah of Simcha at Chanukah Sabayis was docha, overrided the issur of eating on Yom Kippur. And the Mizrahi says over there on Rashi, and Kal B'chomer, Kabbalah's HaTorah. Yom Kippur was a day Kabbalah's HaTorah. Yom Kippur was a day the Luchos came down. So Yom Kippur is also a day of Kabbalah's HaTorah. So the Mizrahi says that according to Rashi, the reason why they ate and drank on the first Yom Kippur is because that was the day of Matan Torah. Because that's when the Luchos came down. And if the Gemara says that the mitzvah of Chanukah Habayis is Docha Yom Kippur, then Kal V'chomer, the mitzvah of celebrating Matan Torah is Docha Yom Kippur. So we have a proof that Rashi agrees with the Ramban. So that's why we have to give one of these two answers for the why Rashi says that what Nadav Avihu did was a chait, if indeed Rashi agrees with the principle that to eat and drink Bisman Matan Torah actually is a good thing. Okay, there's more to say, but we'll stop here.